I got a question for y'all.
Uh-oh.
Why do you want to study Revelation? I'm serious. Why?
Just to give you a hard time?
No.
I don't want to finish 2 Samuel. Then we can study Revelation.
We finished 2 Samuel.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, we finished 2 Samuel.
Oh, well, I guess I was gone for quite a while there. So
yeah.
I thought we were still toward the end.
Because I've always
oh, that's right.
Heard
we were in 21.
Pieces
so that's right.
Like
we
this, right there. This means this to this. And I've tried to read several times myself. It's just too out there for me. And so I'd like some kind
I'm in the same boat with you.
you'll study it out. You know.
Jeopardy. Countdown to the
Apocalypse. Anybody else?
And so,
I'm getting old. I just want to be ready.
I was listening to Dr. Jeffers, author of the Countdown to the Apocalypse, the other day, and just amazing all the signs, you know, the approaching, and that's just the tribulation. A lot of people think, you know, the tribulation is the rapture, but you know, a lot of people just don't know. And it's just good stuff listening to this guy talk about.
Well, I mean, you brought it up. Where you talking about China. China, per se, the ones that are mentioned in Revelation, between China and India. So.
Yep.
You know, Calvin, that's the thing. I hear of all these things that are going on, like, you know, in the news and, you know, in the world and everything, and people talk about, oh, this is tied to Revelation, this is tied, and I'm clueless. And I feel like...
Well, every generation ties whatever's going on in the world...
It's a revelation, so it's hard to, you know, it's coming in six months, you know, nobody knows, but yeah, that's right, there's something that's leading to prophecies, false prophecies about the rapture. 1844, William Miller Millerites, they said a certain date that everybody's going to be raptured. People sold their possessions and all that kind of stuff and went up on a hill and nothing happened.
We're not going to follow you. And then they went back down.
Then recently, Harold Camping, you know, set a date.
But we know that that's not true.
You can set a date.
What amazes me is these date setters still manage to maintain like a whole denomination. I mean, the Seventh Day Adventist was all based around.
Oh, yeah.
That was a fallout from the Millerites.
Yeah.
The Mormons predicted the end of time so many times. And then when it would go by, they would say, a calculation error. It was a calculation error. We met this year. And they would pick another year. And then it would come through and. The slide rule didn't work right. And so,
the problem that we have as American Christians is we think, whether we will admit it or not, we think the Bible is American-centric. It revolves around the American church. It don't.
Exactly.
It don't.
And you don't see America
anywhere
in Revelation.
The United States could be invaded, wiped out, ceased to exist as a country, and it would have no impact on the eschatology in the Bible. No impact.
Calvin, are you uncomfortable? Do you not want to go there? Because, I mean, as a class, I think we need to be sensitive. You're the one that's going to be doing all the work. So, I mean, you need to let us
know. I know what the way I interpret it.
You don't want to run people off? Is that what you're saying?
James chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. This is ESV. Says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man. I've got to put my glasses on, can you read it? For we all stumble many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. And we know nobody's perfect. So being a teacher, you're held to a higher spiritual standard. That bothers me. It really does. Because some of the generally accepted orthodox positions for the American church I don't agree with. And if I try to teach the way I think I interpret it, it's in conflict some with the standard, I'd say 90% of American church. It might cause problems. You know, for a mature Christian, I don't think it will. For instance, 90% of the evangelical churches in the United States, I've got this number from somewhere, I don't remember where, believe in pre-trib rapture. I don't believe in pre-trib rapture. Our church constitution as a statement of faith believes in pre-trib rapture. I've had discussions with Pastor Tony on this, and we agree to disagree. You know, I'm not dogmatic about what I think. I can very well be wrong. I'm not perfect. But until I'm convinced otherwise, just like Martin Luther, until I'm convinced otherwise by scripture or logic or whatever, I hold the belief I have. And things like that, especially in Revelation, when questions may come up, I don't want to be in conflict with the church. You know, I really don't. And but it's not just that. There's other things. I'm generally lean towards Reformed theology. This church is not a Reformed church. But I have my beliefs. But I'm not so dogmatic in my beliefs that I disfellowship myself from other believers. Because I can very well be wrong. I mean, I can be wrong. So when we get into Revelation, if we have some disagreements, we need to disagree in charity.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Yeah, I agree.
Amen.
And I think it's very important for each of us to do our studying.
Yes.
Because, you know, I mean, I'm just not going to write what you're going to say up there. You know,
well, we have discussions sometimes, too. It's hard to live with, you know.
You have to do our own study and our you know, because otherwise, I'm really just not going to. It's just what our responsibility is.
But as a teacher, you may, I mean, I don't take it lightly. I put it that way. And but even though I don't take it lightly, I hope I don't do any damage, you know, spiritual damage I'm teaching.
Calvin, one of the things that I like about the way you teach is that you give the viewpoints of different scholars. These scholars say this, these scholars say that. And so from that perspective, I mean, you know, I don't think that we're naive enough or whatever to think that you're going to lead us down a path that we shouldn't, I don't want to go down. I don't know, but I mean, I have every faith personally in the fact that what you present will be presented in good faith and will be, we can learn and be able to make our own decisions on what you present to us.
And you need to make your own decisions.
Right.
We all need to be Bereans. We all need to search the scriptures daily.
Knowing mostly this group in here, I don't see where we're going to have a problem with your concerns.
Seconding what Craig said, one of the reasons why I'm in this class is because you're a teacher, not an indoctrinator. I don't come here to find out all what, you know, the church doctrine says. I can pick up the Constitution and read it myself. You know,
exactly.
I want to be taught. I want to see the different perspectives. I want to hear, you know, what you know, I like that you don't tote the, you know, American line. You know, I like to kind of go, oh, well, that isn't interesting. I've never heard that before. Or to go, yeah, I think you just, I'm all right, Gavin, I love you. You know, I mean, I like to be able to go, that's something to think about.
Especially you, though.
Yeah. What will happen then? Yeah, that's all right, because I don't always, line up in
county uniform. I mean, the bottom line needs to be how comfortable you are, because we don't want to force you to. You're the one that's going to be doing all the work, putting in hours on this, and we don't want you to go into it. If you're not feeling...
No, I'd love to go to Revelation, because I think the times that we are in...
It needs to be done.
We have been in the end times ever since Christ was crucified.
Exactly.
It's been the end times. And we're closer to the end of the end times every day. And everybody needs to be prepared, because we all have our own end times.
I like that you're not pre-trib, because I think we all need to be prepared for post-trib. I think we like the idea of getting out of here before it gets bad, but we have to be prepared to live through it and to not throw our faith out the window.
Sure.
You know, as Gabriel said, what was last week or the week before, I'm a pantry. I really don't. I've read the different scriptures. I've heard it preached every different way. But really, in the end, it's going to pan out how God wants it to. And I want to be ready to go through the tribulation. I want to be, boy, it's like, okay, we got to do this. Let's do it. Instead of, you know, finding out too late that, you know, oh, we're not out of here. This really stinks. You know? You need that.
We're probably sad anyway.
Yeah. You know, anything that you find in Revelation, of all the different things happening, have almost happened.
15 times over?
Yeah. There's been famines, there have been economic strife,
earthquakes,
there's been earthquakes, volcanoes, there's been meteorites, everything has happened.
Come back here in World War II.
Even it talks about beheadings and stuff like that. We're seeing that daily now. So.
What about parents turning on their children? Do you see that news all the time?
Well, like they said, when they say there'll be fires and wars and rumors of wars, you look what's going on around the world. Look at just North Korea, South Korea. Wow.
See, my question is this. Is it really any worse now than it has been for the last 100, 200, 2,000 years? Or do we just have the technology to see all the bad stuff? Because, you know, we have, you know, I mean, people have been, beheaded, they've been stoned, they've been persecuted, they've been, you know, sexually assaulted, they've been, you know, I mean, you go back all the way into the stuff that we were reading, you know, you've got stuff like Tamar, you know, you got stuff like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's been happening all along. You know, I mean, it's just the media, you know, is they grab a hold of all the bad stuff and they put it out in front of us all the time. So it just looks like there's so much more. You know, is there more, or is it just that we are aware of it?
Well,
because, you know, even 50 years ago, you know, we wouldn't have known about half of the bad stuff that happens in this country that is blasted up in front of us.
There's also more people in the world, too, so there's more opportunity for bad things to happen.
Yeah.
Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, verses 20 to 22. It says, on the next day he, talking about Paul, went with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to the city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthened the souls of disciples, encouraged them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. So if we have a mindset that we're going to be raptured out of here and not going to have any hardships at all, I think it's the wrong mindset. The mindset we need to have is, We need to be obedient to our Lord and Savior and be ready for anything that's thrown at us. And that we can lean on Him to go through, get us through any hardships. And even like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God can do all things, but if He chooses not to, so be it. He's still God.
Exactly.
You know, when
you read the voice of the martyrs, there are really so many people who have so much
that we cannot even begin to understand. So, we're going to get in
Revelation a little bit today.
I thought we agreed we were going to do Genesis.
And we're going to get just a little bit. Chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. That's how far we're going today. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. If we're going to study the revelation of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation, wouldn't it be nice if we knew what Jesus said even before then? So what I'd like to do is go back to Matthew chapter 24. As an introduction to Revelation, go back to chapter 24 of Matthew. See how far we can get in this today. If we don't get finished, we'll finish up Matthew 24 next week before we start Revelation. Matthew 24, verses 1 and 2. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily, I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now this is a... chapter 24 of Matthew, verse 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 24.
Yeah, I think he's going to make us read the whole chapter, isn't he?
The temple was the central focus of all of Judaism. All of Judaism focused on the temple, the sacrifices for sin, everything. There's a central point of worship in Israel. There was no other temple allowed in Israel, just the temple there in Jerusalem. Now, they had synagogues around the country, but they didn't offer sacrifices there. It was a place of the study of the Word of God. We might call them Bible study centers or something like that. Had synagogues all over the place. But the temple...
Religious libraries.
The temple was... focus. And when Jesus said the temple was going to be destroyed, that is a shock to his disciples. Total shock. I want to read this just so I won't get anything wrong. This temple was originally rebuilt by Zerubbabel and Ezra, but greatly expanded and improved by Herod. It was the center of Jewish life for almost 1,000 years. So much so that it was customary to swear by the temple, and speaking against the temple could be considered blasphemy. After Herod's work, the temple was huge, nearly 500 yards long and 400 yards wide. Herod's rebuilding work started in 19 BC. It was only completed in 63 AD, taking more than 80 years. The temple was finished only 7 years before it was destroyed. So at the time Jesus is talking here, it's about 60 years or so into the building and refurbishing and so forth of the temple. There's still another 20 years to go to make it look even better and so forth. So, but Jesus is telling them it's going to be torn down. A Jewish historian Josephus says that the temple was covered on the outside with gold plates. that was so brilliant that when the sun shone on them, it was blinding to look at. Where there was no gold, there were blocks of marble of such pure white that strangers from a distance thought there was snow in the temple. So it was a beautiful structure and held in high regard by the Jews. And here Jesus is telling his disciples it's going to be destroyed. Not one stone on another, on top of another. So that was a shock to them. It'd be like us being told the United States is going to be invaded and destroyed. You know, when's that going to happen? You know.
Yeah, it was brought up several times by the scribes and the Pharisees against Jesus throughout all his trial, all the way up to the resurrection.
He said, not one stone would be left upon another. Some 40 years after Jesus said this, there was a widespread Jewish revolt against the Romans in Palestine, and they enjoyed many early successes, but ultimately Rome crushed the rebels in 70 AD. Jerusalem was leveled, including the temple, just as Jesus had said. The last surviving Jews of the city fled to the temple because it was the strongest and most secure building in the city. Roman soldiers surrounded it, and a soldier started a fire that soon engulfed the whole building. Ornate gold detail work in the roof melted down into the cracks between the stone walls of the temple. And to retrieve the gold, the Roman commander ordered that the temple be dismantled stone by stone. The destruction was so complete that today they have true difficulty in learning exactly where the temple was. And even the stories nowadays, they don't know exactly where the temple was, I guess. There's even some thoughts that they could rebuild the temple next to the Dome of the Rock because they think it might have been not right where the Dome of the Rock was. Yeah. And there's some speculation that they could both exist sitting on that area, which I don't think will ever happen. But they don't really know where the temple's structure was. But the best they can discern, they want to rebuild the temple on the same spot because it's a holy spot. And they want to construct the temple where the Holy of Holies is an exact place it was when it was originally constructed. And there may be some scholars that can determine that or have an idea or something. We don't know. But the Jewish leaders have all the utensils that are needed to do the sacrifices. They have all the priestly garments. They have all the... they don't have the Ark of the Covenant. They have all the other utensils and things that are reconstructed. Part of the ritual is you have to use ashes of the red heifer to purify, sanctify the temple. They are attempting to raise perfect red heifers to be used in that ritual. I read recently that I can't remember if they either started or have finished the construction of the sacrificial altar. They have Levitical priest identified that they can track back definitively to Levitical priesthood and to Aaron's lineage to where they can... They can identify a high priest. Israel's doing, the religious Jews, Orthodox Jews in Israel are doing everything they can to get ready to rebuild the temple and reinstitute the sacrificial offerings that is required by the Torah. So it's an important thing to somebody who is an Orthodox Jew, a true believer, Orthodox Jew. And it was important in that day and age too. So when Jesus tells his disciples his temple's going to be destroyed, you can imagine what they're going to ask in verse 3. And he sat down upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world." Same kind of questions we're asking right now. Mm-hmm. Same kind of questions. We want to know when's ever all this stuff's going to happen, and what signs can we see that are going to give us an indication that the clock start ticking and things are in motion and stuff. We want to know. And I assume that's why most of us want to look at Revelation, because Revelation gives us some shadowy answers to our questions. And when Jesus responds to disciples, he didn't give them a direct answer. And one of the questions that we may have is why? Why didn't he answer their questions directly to where they would know? Well, it's been 2,000 years. We can't read the mind of God, but maybe, you know, maybe it's time. Maybe it's going to be another 2,000 years. But those who are of the faith, we have been told we need to be ready.
Right.
Whenever it's going to be.
Fair ought to be watchful. That's right.
And if we know it's not going to happen until 3020, I ain't got nothing to worry about.
Exactly.
I ain't got nothing to worry about.
Well, I think that's why the good Lord knows that we're full of a lot of procrastinators. Mm-hmm. So if we know, okay, it will be April 16, 2025, you know, at 10:15, then everybody's going to wait to the last minute and go, now I'm going to church, now I'm going to dedicate
right.
my life, now I'm going to, you know. God knows these things.
Yeah.
I think it's also really important. I've heard pastors say, when we were new Christians, we were all like, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? And he was like, don't get caught up in that. You need to be busy about God's work.
Right.
And serving and, you know, and all
right.
that, and learning and worshiping and not.
We have a commission. We have a task, a commission. We have guidance of what we're supposed to be doing day by day. Are we doing that? Maybe not as good as we should if we are. But we are charged to be obedient. And we're a stubborn lot. And we want to do what we want to do. And we want to do it instead of do what God wants us to do. And we suffer for it. So one of the reasons probably that Jesus doesn't answer directly is he knows it's going to, well, he says nobody knows, but it's going to be a while. And, you know, it may appear as if they're asking one question, but basically they're asking two questions here. One question is, when is the temple going to be destroyed? Another question is, when are you going to come back? Because he's already told them he's leaving. So when are you going to come back? When are you going to come into your kingdom? Okay, verses 4 to 8. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." So all those things are going to happen. We've seen them happen in the past. We discussed that. If
Revelation says birth pains.
Yeah.
And you know that the beginning of your birth pains can start 2 or 3 days before the baby ever gets here, and they can,
That's where we take the woman's perspective of what we just said. Thank the Lord.
You know, and some, you know, you can get Braxton Hicks for months and months before that baby comes. And those things sometimes can be as painful as the actual deliveries.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
or worse.
So there she is,
and
I didn't need to know all that.
He knows that now. Too much information.
But if we know, if we're told famines are coming, what should we do about it?
Prepare
food.
Prepare
food.
Scott,
my treaties.
We're told, you know, some denominations require that you require that members have a stockpile of food. Some do. Mormons, yeah, but that's not a Christian organization.
They're smart.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Wars, you know, have something to protect your family. You know, I know. Some people like guns.
He's got a stockpile of food too, don't you worry.
Okay.
That's just in case somebody else missed the food.
But pestilence, we all get sick for various reasons, and it's good that we have doctors that we can go to, but we may not always have doctors. And some things don't need surgery. And I'm of the opinion we need to doctor ourselves to the degree that we can. We need to eat healthy food to keep us healthy. We need to do our exercise.
What's that?
We need to be our own doctors, seriously. We do.
Yeah.
We're told these things are coming, and if there's some type of pestilence, if your immune system is strong, maybe you won't die, or maybe you won't even catch the disease, or whatever. So, you know, a lot of us have work to get healthier too, you know, and it's difficult sometimes, but. If we're told by our Lord and Savior that these things are coming and it's not the end, and we're going through tribulations before we come into the kingdom, you know, Joseph, when he was told that there was going to be a famine, he also had a vision to stockpile food, had 7 years of food saved up, saved a lot of people. Even if you... don't care so much about yourself or whatever about stockpiling food. We're supposed to take care of others that are in not as good of a financial position and so forth. We're called to take care of widows and orphans and those who are less fortunate. And those that can't prepare. We should be preparing as Christians for those who can't. Don't have basement.
Oh. Okay, stuff's under your crawl space.
Calvin, huh? I think verse 8 says a lot. It says, trying to get back here again, that this is just the beginning.
Yes.
That the wars, the famines, and the earthquakes are just the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, just the beginning.
There's a lot more to come after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Braxton Hicks, baby.
And I'm of opinion in the United States right now that we are going to go through hardships like we have never seen before. But it's not the end. Because the United States plays no role that I can see in Scripture about God's plan.
Did you You think America's going to fall before then?
Yes.
It's a good sign.
Yes. If God will not protect His chosen people when they turn their back on Him, what makes us think that He will take care of the United States when we turn our backs on Him?
And that's exactly what
Israel was taken into bondage. Are we any better than Israel? I don't think so.
I think we're better. Or worse.
4,000 years later, they're still fighting for their land.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be a doom and gloom person. I'm just trying to be realistic.
Stating the facts.
Yeah. You know, when the White House is lit up with the gay pride colors and Empire State Building is awash in the Hindu goddess that they project on the Empire State Building, and we've murdered 50 to 70,000
babies
in the womb. And now we're thumbing our nose at God, saying sodomy and all these other things are okay, you know.
Yeah.
What can we expect from God?
You know, Calvin, I'm only 70 years old, and there's a lot of people older than me. But, you know, I can look back at my childhood and growing up and look at this country now, and I'm telling you that, in my opinion, yeah, we got a lot of social media, we got a lot of technology now, but this world is worse than it was when I was a little boy.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, going to church and believing in God and praying to God for rain and coming together and help the community. We kill each other off now like, you know, animals. We kill babies. We do, stuff that when I was a little boy, I mean, it might have happened, but it wasn't like it is now.
Well, what can you expect when children are told they came from animals? Yeah.
That's right.
They're just animals.
I didn't come from no monkey. I ain't got no mama. I killed mama.
There are people older than you?
That's what you got out of that.
I just had to wait for a pause there. You should know better.
So much for discussing things in cherry.
Verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come.
Ben, I have a question on this, because in my ESV Bible, ESV that I use as my study Bible, I'd mark that verse 9, because there's many different interpretations. It says, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. But now, is this, he's speaking to the to his disciples, but when he says, and ye shall be hated of all nations, specifically, what's your interpretation of that?
Well, yes, he's talking to his disciples, and you can say his disciples are Christians. And I think he's speaking to us that Jesus was hated. We're going to be hated just like Jesus was. We're going to be persecuted and killed just like Jesus was.
No.
That we need to be prepared for that. We see right now in the Middle East, Christians are being beheaded, being drowned, being nailed to crosses, and all that kind of stuff. And we hear stories where they're given the opportunity to recant their faith and become a Muslim, and they say no. Do we have that kind of faith?
No.
We don't see persecution like that. It may be coming, but we don't see it right now. And if somebody's got a knife to your throat and say, you know, curse Jesus Christ or die, what are you going to do?
You're going to die either way. I mean, that's what some people say. They're going to say, well, I'm going to die either way, so why denounce it? I mean, but if you have strong faith, I mean...
I've read stories in
it should be an issue.
Voice of the Martyrs, where I think it's in Cambodia, that a pastor and two girls were captured by Khmer Rouge. And the pastor was told that if he would kill the two girls, they would let him go. Well, the two girls, they kept their faith, and they asked that God forgive the pastor for what he was about to do. The pastor kills the two girls, and then Khmer Rouge kills him anyway. So he basically renounced his faith, and then he died. The devil is a liar.
Right.
You can't trust him.
Up one side and down the other.
Yeah. Can't trust him. And if you have a relationship with your Lord and Savior, whatever comes your way, if you're saved, you know where you're going.
Exactly.
And whether we go today or tomorrow, what difference does it make?
Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil.
But I think we're told things like this in the scriptures to where we can get our minds prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're not prepared, if we hadn't already made up our minds how we're going to react to something like that, what do you have training for an army for?
Yeah.
You know, whatever. You know, you train to where you don't really have to think when you're in a situation. You know how to react. And that's what we need to do as Christians. We need to train. We need to be trained. We need to train our minds to where when we're put in a position, we know the Word of God, we have faith in our salvation, and we're ready to meet any trial that comes our way. That's easy to say, but hard to do.
I was thinking of the girl in the Columbine school where he put the gun to her head and said, you always preach in Jesus. Here's your opportunity. If you say you love the Lord, I'm going to blow your brains out. With no hesitation, everyone around them said she said it instantly.
Yeah.
You know, and accepted the fate of what was happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the key that you mentioned here is knowing your Bible. Mm-hmm. Because when you're in a situation where you really don't know whether you're going to live or die, things like, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And you can have confidence that whatever your fate is, one way or the other, you know, there's, I don't know how many of y'all know about the break-in that happened to in our house about 6 years ago now. Mm-hmm. Man who sexually assaulted me, and he about choked me out to unconsciousness about 4 times. Where I really didn't know where I was going to live or die. And when we were going through trial, the DA got so mad at me because, you know, while I'm relating the story, you know, I could not tell them. I cannot sit on the stand and say that I was scared. I was confused, but I wasn't scared because I knew who was with me.
Yeah.
I really, you know, and you know, after reliving it time after time after time, you know, between detectives and you know court hearings and you know just recounting it with friends, I came to the conclusion that, you know, the peace of God which passes all understanding, it wasn't a fear of death. I was concerned about my children in the other room, but I wasn't afraid of dying, you know. And I can tell you with all confidence that it was, you know, the prayers of the righteous that got me out of that situation fairly unscathed. Because, you know, I laid there and I prayed, dear God, do not let this man defile me. Literally, not 5 seconds later, he started apologizing.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
5 seconds later.
Amen.
You know, and then the whole thing turned around from there, and which, you know, to this day still baffles the detective and, you know, the DAs and stuff, because he was not like that with any of the other women.
God can do all things.
Exactly.
And now, would it change things if God had let that continue? No, he's still God. But I know the one who I'm half believing in. And I think that when we do know our God, and when we do have faith that he is there and he is with us, whatever the situation, you know, I don't know that we need to train by taking each other in the back room and, you know, poking each other with cattle prods to, you know that we're going to make it through the tribulation. But like you said, training, knowing our word, and having a faith in God that transcends whatever we're going through.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important.
Well, we're out of time. We'll pick up there next Sunday in chapter 24 of Matthew before we get into Revelation. Let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time together, Lord, and an opportunity to study your word, Lord, and increase our faith, Lord. We pray you'll continue to be with us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit continuously, Lord, because we can do nothing without the indwelling of your Holy Spirit. As we're going to our sanctuary now, Lord, we pray that all our words and deeds and songs of praise will be pleasing in thy sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.